New power plants will go a long way in solving California's electricity crisis. But when it comes to Southern California's perennial water shortage, the solution is not as obvious. The region essentially is a desert. For nearly a century, the Los Angeles area has devised some ingenious and sometimes environmentally destructive ways to import water. The latest idea is to tap an ancient aquifer under the Mojave Desert. But critics say the plan could recreate one of California's most notorious water projects. In part three of a series on California, NPR's Andy Bowers reports.
The good life in Southern California is based on a very simple recipe. One part abundant sunshine, one part temperate climate, one part fertile soil. Then, simply add water. The result, as you can see in countless gardens, parks, and farms across the region, is an American Eden. The ingenuity of water engineers has superimposed lush tropical gardens and high-yield agriculture over what used to be a sparse desert landscape. Around 20 million people now live in an area that would naturally sustain a much smaller human population, and more move here every day.
Talk about a big tie-up. 405 northbound past Wilshire Boulevard, the two right lanes still blocked.
The water that transforms Southern California flows through massive concrete aqueducts and metal pipes. It travels hundreds of miles south from the rivers of Northern California and the Sierra Nevada, west from the Colorado River. More water is always needed. Yet the state is now being forced by its neighbors to cut back what it takes from the Colorado. To help fill the gap, Southern California is looking to a closer water source, one hidden underneath the vast Mojave Desert.
And before us, to the north, is a great valley, the Cadiz-Fenner Valley.
Standing on a mountain pass, Eldon Hughes of the Sierra Club points to what looks like the archetype of a bone-dry desert. The valley even contains two salty dry lakes. But, says Hughes, looks can be deceiving.
Absolutely not bone dry. The area where we stand right now a month ago was yellow with desert dandelion flowers. Underneath, the water is as close as 5 feet from the surface.
And there's a lot of it. One estimate puts it at more than 6,000 trillion gallons. The aquifer's watershed is bigger than Rhode Island. It's not a massive underground lake. The water rests in porous earth, something like a wet sandbox. But it can be pumped out, which means it can also be transported to the nearby megalopolis. Much of the aquifer lies under federal and national parkland, but it's the owners of a money-losing corporate farm on a small fraction of the land who want to sell the water. Keith Brackpool is the CEO of Cadiz Inc., which owns the Mojave Farm.
All of the studies we've performed over the last 10 years lead us and other experts to believe that it is a very appropriate site for both groundwater banking and groundwater transfer in dry times.
And those two elements make up Cadiz's proposed deal with the Metropolitan Water District, the public agency that supplies some 17 million Southern Californians. Groundwater banking, or storage, means the MWD would take any excess water it has during wet years and literally sink it into the Mojave Aquifer. Ron Gastelum is the MWD's general manager.
It is all water from the Colorado River that we would put in storage in these basins. Our strategy is to put water in and be able to take the water out that we put in those dry years.
And if the MWD only wanted to use the aquifer for storage, environmental groups would have little objection. But over the 50-year deal, the MWD also proposes to pump out hundreds of billions of gallons of native groundwater. Take too much of the existing water, says the Sierra Club's Eldon Hughes, and it could recreate one of the most infamous chapters in California's water history.
I think this absolutely could become another Owens Valley. It's a real threat.
Owens Valley was once a lush oasis in the Sierra Nevada foothills, some 200 miles north of Los Angeles. In the early 1900s, L.A. secretly bought up land and water rights in the Owens Valley and then built an aqueduct to bring the water to the growing city. A highly fictionalized version of the secret project and insider land speculation it fostered drove the plot of the classic film Chinatown.
They're blowing these farmers out of their land and then picking it up for peanuts. You have any idea what this land would be worth with a steady water supply? About 30 million more than they paid for it.
In real life, the water project's architect, William Mulholland, became a hero in Los Angeles and a villain in the increasingly dry Owens Valley. For decades, Valley residents tried to halt the flow of water south by seizing or blowing up the aqueduct. But in the end, L.A. won, and Owens Valley orchards gave way to tumbleweeds. The story was recounted in the PBS documentary Cadillac Desert.
Great alkali dust storms began boiling up off the exposed shores of Mono and the dry bed of Owens Lake. By 1974, Owens Valley, the Switzerland of America, had the worst particulate pollution in the country.
It wasn't until 1999 that Los Angeles finally agreed to help stop the great dust storms it created in the Owens Valley. That program is just now getting underway. Certainly, the proposed Mojave Desert project differs in many ways from what happened in Owens Valley, according to retired UCLA history professor Norris Hundley, author of The Great Thirst.
The biggest single difference is what's going on now is open. The process is open to the public. When Los Angeles went into the Owens Valley and got its water rights, this was all done without anyone down there knowing what was at work.
The big question is whether the result will be the same, whether the Mojave Aquifer will be lowered enough to cause massive dust storms and perhaps harm native bighorn sheep and desert tortoises. The Sierra Club's Eldon Hughes stands on one of the two dry lakes in the Cadiz Valley, or at least he says they may look dry.
But it is a percolating water up, the capillary action of water, that holds the surface together. Once that water is gone and sand hits the surface, it'll pop. It'll go off. It'll be dust. Lots of dust. Tons of dust.
This question turns on what's called the recharge rate of the aquifer. In other words, how much water naturally flows into the ground from snowmelt and rain each year. Pump out only as much as nature puts in, and there's no net loss. But there's a problem.
There's quite a difference in the impacts, depending upon whose estimate of recharge you use.
That's hydrogeologist John Bredehoft, formerly of the U.S. Geological Survey. Now a private consultant, Bredehoft was hired by the Western Environmental Law Center to make his best estimate. He uses the measurement acre-feet. 1 acre-foot is roughly enough water to supply 2 families for a year.
Well, my finding was that the recharge was about 5,000 to 6,000 acre-feet, in contrast to what their consultants estimated it to be, 50,000.
Actually, the Metropolitan Water District now says there isn't enough data to predict the recharge rate. If Bredehoft is correct, that would mean the MWD could only take a small fraction of the water it now proposes to buy. But the Water District's general manager, Ron Gastelum, says the MWD will only take as much water as an extensive system of underground monitors determines is safe. He's confident that will be a sizable amount.
But if the data indicates that it's not safe, then we're going to be accepting of that. We're a public agency. Our job is to protect the environment.
The environmental groups lining up against the Mojave Water Project say the monitoring is flawed and will only show a severe drop in the water level once it's too late to reverse. But Keith Brackpool, CEO of Cadiz, the company selling the water, says he thinks the environmentalists are trying to stop something other than a water project.
Well, I think we can very clearly see the agenda here. I think it's an anti-growth agenda.
The theory being that without new water sources, growth would be limited. Then again, Brackpool's company has its own agenda. It stands to make hundreds of millions of dollars if the 50-year deal goes through. At the moment, all sides are waiting for an environmental impact report from the Federal Bureau of Land Management. If the project gets the green light, it will still very likely end up in court. Andy Bowers, NPR News, 29 Palms, California.